Psalm 40 is a psalm written by David. And here we can see that David is a man of prayer, a man who really come before the Lord and knowing God. And that is why even God called him a man after God's own heart. It's right from the start in this psalm, which is set to the tune and music to the chief musician. Is that I waited patiently for the Lord. Here, it's David's own testimony. And he used the word I. It is very personal. It is something that he has gone through in life himself. It is not so much as a head knowledge, but it is an experience. An experience with God and strengthened by the promises and the person of God, he has hope. So here we can see David started off with I. What about you and me? Do we have a story to tell? We just sang the song, Blessed Assurance. This is my story. This is my song. And it's Blessed Assurance. Each one of us, even as we come here tonight, we have our individual burdens that your neighbor might not know, but God knows. You have probably some concern about your future, which you don't even know what will happen, but God already knew. So here, David was in such a situation. He said, I waited. Have you ever waited for something, someone? And the reason why you want to wait is because you anticipate that thing to come, or that person to come. But sometimes we are disappointed in our own lives. When upon waiting, we don't get the thing. Upon waiting, that person did not come, or probably give some lame excuses. But here, David said that he waited. He waited for something. He waited for an answer from God. He waited for help from God. I know that some of us are going through examinations. And when I was in your age of taking exams, well, taking examination is not as frightening as waiting for the results. I mean, that's from my experience. And waiting for the results, especially for the paper that I honestly thought I didn't do well, like statistics, it is horrible, horrible. The days become weeks. Weeks, probably the wait for months before the results are out. But here, David waited patiently. Why did he wait patiently? Because the person that he is waiting on has a history in David's own life. And that track record, which is the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that relationship with David gives David that quiet confidence, quiet trust, that hope, the knowing that there'll be something at the end of that waiting. And knowing that that something is only good for David. And David may be, humanly speaking, not thinking that it might be good, but God says in his word, for all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So here we can see that David waited patiently for the Lord. He had that quiet confidence. He is not in a flurry. He's not in panic. He does not have a panic attack, but he waited patiently for the Lord. The Lord, that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the heavenly Father, the Abba Father, that David is so close with. He knows that his heavenly Father cares and loves him. And even though he may be going through a difficult situation, and in this case, it's a horrible pit. In this case, it's quicksand. In this case, is just sinking feeling. Have you ever been in a situation where you find yourself just sinking deeper and deeper, and that just doesn't seem to have any bottom, and you can't feel, your feet cannot feel the bottom, and your whole situation is just so draining, and it is sinking and sinking. And here David said he waited patiently for the Lord. And this is a God of covenant, God of promises, and a God who chose David out when he was only a shepherd boy and will be giving him the kingdom of Israel and to take over King Saul. And David has been persecuted, and of all people, his father-in-law. How horrible it is to be persecuted by someone who is so close in relation to you. And in this case, David did experience those things. And despite that, he waited patiently for the Lord. And what happened? And he said that in verse 1, "And he inclined unto me." Who is the he? It's God. It's the Heavenly Father. Why should the great God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that we could not even pretend to understand how the whole creation came about, but we know by faith in his word that it just came forth out of his word. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That God, that Almighty God, that even scientists find it hard to believe. And today there was a big announcement in the world of science. Professor Stephen Hawking of Cambridge has passed away at the age of 76. And he has written so many books, physics, and is almost like a protege following the footsteps of Einstein. And BBC even reported today of his great findings of how the universe could have come about, the history of time. But how wrong Professor Stephen Hawking is. He was absolutely wrong, because God created the whole universe. If only he could just bow down and acknowledge from God's word, and it would be so simple to understand that God created the heavens and the earth. And this is the God that inclined unto David. And what did he do? Heard my cry. Have you ever prayed and thinking that your problem, your challenge, your sinking feeling is so great that you wonder whether God is even hearing you? Sometimes when we pray, we tell ourselves that yes, according to the promises of God, he heard our cry. But sometimes when the wait gets long, it's a very, very long wait. It's a day. It's a week. It goes to a month. It goes to a year. It goes to several years. And that waiting upon waiting. But here, David was comforted, and he shared his own personal testimony that not only did God incline unto him, God heard his cry. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, God, our Lord, our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who call us his friend, he knows our being, he knows our troubles, he knows our challenges, he knows our doubts, he is aware. And he heard, and he hears our cry. As he heard the cry of David, he will hear our cry. And what happened after David testified that the Lord heard his cry? God came to his rescue. God saved David from a problem which David find it very, very difficult to cope with. Like in verse 2, David said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Horrible, dark pit. And this pit is like a well. It goes down and down and deeper, and it's almost like it's going to be drowned in it. And he brought me out of the miry clay. Miry clay is quicksand. And David must be struck. The more he struggles on his own, the more he goes down. And he can only reach out his hand and someone pull him out. And that someone can only be David's God, who is our God. He brought me up also out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. Set my feet upon the rock, our Lord God Almighty, and established my goings and established my footsteps, my way, my journey forward. And what a testimony David gave. And David did not want to kill King Saul, for he should not touch the Lord's anointed, and left it entirely to God. Vengeance is of God, and God helped David, and not only took away Saul, but gave David that unction to be the king of Israel. And David said, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it." And not only will they see the salvation of God and how God helped David, the people will fear God and say, "Wow, your God is awesome, is fantastic, is almighty. No other person can do this except your God." They fear and they shall trust in the Lord. And what a wonderful testimony it might be. So when David said that he heard my cry, David cried. Who says that real man cannot cry? David cried. And God made us to be people with emotion. It's all right to cry and cry unto the Lord. And when would a person cry? Out of desperation, and it's a very concentration, a great concentration kind of prayer that is out of desperation, that cry is a cry of humility. Why? It's basically to say that, "God, I can't fix my own problem. I can't fix it. God can." And therefore there is a cry. It's a total unconditional surrender to God. And it's a plea for mercy and faith in God's power. And I shall just read it to you from Psalm 9, verse 12. And it is written, "When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble." Our God, remember our cry. When we cry out of desperation, out of humility, out of saying that, "God, help me," in David's personal testimony, God helped him. What about you and I? Do you cry unto the Lord? Sometimes we may cry unto our friends. Yes, that may only release that emotion, the hot tears. But what can our friend do other than being by our side and consoling us? But when we cry unto the Lord, the God of the covenant, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he is aware. He's able to help us. Besides David crying unto the Lord, who else cried unto God? Let us have a little journey to see in the scriptures, who are the people that cry unto the Lord? And here I can see in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. "And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Israel cried. Israel cried because they've been enslaved and the bondage. And they've been there for so many years and waited and waited and waited for salvation and waited for rescue. And God says they'll be there for 400 years, a long time. And Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, this was a time that they had fled. And they thought that, wow, at last God has sent someone to help in the person of Moses. And they went, and it is coming to a huge body of water, the Red Sea. And verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. So basically, they were trembling. They were panicking. They melted. Have you ever been in that situation where you're sore afraid? When you cannot control the situation? You cannot control the circumstances? You cannot control the person involved? And it is just so uncertain. And you felt like, could this be the end? And what did the children of Israel do? And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. It is a cry of distress, a cry to say, help me, Lord. And what happened? In verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. They were panicking. They were anxious. They were just murmuring. They were probably making a lot of noise. And Moses said, fear ye not. Stand still. How could they stand still in that kind of situation when the army is coming and the Red Sea is just before them and they've never, ever seen Red Sea opening? I mean, we have the Bible, we know. But they did not. How could that body of water be opened? Moses said, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. A cry of deep distress. Do you have a situation in your life whereby you are coming into the Red Sea? Do you have your own Red Sea? Each one of us will come to our own Red Sea sometime in our lives. Probably once, probably twice, probably several times. When the people of Israel at that time came to the Red Sea, they cried out, deep distress. And God assured them, God hears them, and God will help them. God will fight for them against the greatest enemy in that time, Egyptians. And here was Moses, the great leader whom God will lead and guide the people of Israel over on dry ground when the Red Sea parted, on dry ground. And Moses saw it. The people of Israel saw it. The people of Israel really revered Moses and say that he is the leader indeed. And there was no doubt about it. But then when we look at Exodus 17, verse 4. In Exodus 17, verse 4, it was Moses' turn to cry. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me just because they do not have water, just because they are thirsty, and the leader whom they revere so much, now they're going to stone this leader. And Moses cried unto the Lord. Sometimes we may think that leaders of the church, or pastors or elders, they look like Superman. But look at Moses. He's not a Superman. He cried unto the Lord. It came to a point that he just could not fix it. He could not help the situation. He could not solve the problem. He just came before the Lord God Almighty, just like King David did. And Moses cried unto the Lord. And God will help him. And also we see the psalmist, as in David, the psalmist, he cried and the Lord heard him. And also we look at another prophet by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33:3. Right? Jeremiah 33:3. And all of us are pretty familiar with this verse. Let us read this together. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. David cried unto the Lord. He does not know what would that mighty thing, that solution be. He did not know. But God said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you have a problem? Do you have an uncertain future? Do you have something that lies ahead, or what you are experiencing at this moment, that you find that it is very, is a huge burden that you could not bear? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto the Lord, cry unto God. And there's another person who cried unto God in the New Testament. And look at Matthew chapter 14, Matthew 14, 30 to 31. And it is a very familiar portion of Scripture. Matthew 14, verses 30 to 31. And I read, but when he saw, that is Peter, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter, that apostle, even he cried unto the Lord. What about you and I? In times of our desperation, we should cry unto God, and God will hear us. And in another situation, whereby Elijah, we can look at 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17, verses 20 to 21. Yeah, 1 Kings 17, verses 20 to 21. Let's read this together. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come in to him again. God answered Elijah's prayer. God revived the dead child. Elijah cried unto the Lord. So we can see that it is good to cry unto God. As David had his personal testimony, cried unto God. And David testified here that God answered his prayer in God's own way, for God's own glory, in God's own timing. And verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. David was filled with thanksgiving, from lamentation to thanksgiving. And verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word, that cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So David thanked God. Thank God for all the bountiful blessings, help in time of need. And what was David's response with all these blessings that God has showered upon him? He responded in verse 6, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required." God does not require those sacrifice, those offering. He does not desire. He does not even require those burnt offering, those sin offering. But what does God require from David? And David willingly gave himself to the Lord. He said, "Mine ears hast thou opened." What a wonderful response that David gave. And what is the background to why David said, "Mine ears hast thou opened"? Let's turn, look at Exodus 21, verses 5 to 6. Exodus 21, verses 5 to 6. And verse 5. And this talks about the treatment of servants. "And if the servant shall plainly say..." Okay, I'll just read verses from verse 1 onwards, then you have a better idea. "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Verse 2. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Work 6 years, the seventh year go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself." And verse 5. This is the background to what David said, "And my ears hast thou opened." "And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free." At the seventh year, when he can actually go out free, he said he will not go out free because he loves his master. Verse 6. "Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, the man after God's own heart, with all the blessings that God has given him, he says, "Mine ears hast thou opened. Not only have you helped me to understand with my ear the promises of God and the blessings of God which I've received, I'm willing to be your servant for life. I will serve you for life. Because God, I love you." And that's the response of King David. And shall that be our response? That when we cry out to God, "Lord, help me," and God help us, we say, "Lord, I love you. I want to serve you forever in whatever capacity. It is not the offering, the burnt offering, the sacrifices that you desire or require. It's me. I give my whole self to you, God." Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Father in heaven, we thank and praise Thee for how Thou hast loved us, how Thou hast shown Thy love to David, to Elijah, to Moses, to the people of Israel. It's covered in Thine entire word, the Bible. So Lord, we pray that as we have received Thy blessings, and we know that we will receive Thy blessings in Thine own time, for Thine own glory, in thine own way. Only that we might be more Christ-like. O God, we thank you. Thank you in advance, with confidence, quiet confidence and faith in God, that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Blessed assurance. Thank thee, Lord, and help us to surrender our lives to serve thee and to honor thee. Through Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord, we give thanks. Amen.